Hello, everyone. This is Jay, and this
Hi.
Is my wife, Casey. And this is a little show we call The View from Bomax Point. Hi, friends. We're back to talk more about parenting. Just a quick reminder that I am offering to give away a free copy of the book Daddy Tried by Pastor Tim Bailey to any man who is willing to commit to reading that book within the next month and having at least one conversation with me about the book. If you need more information about that or have no idea what I'm talking about, just go back and listen to our first episode again where I gave a little bit more background on that book and why I chose it and why I'm offering to give it away for free. I guess this is episode 2 of our podcast, but in our first episode, we pretty much just talked about our motivation for having a podcast like this. So we really didn't get into much of the subject of parenting and raising children itself, but today we're going to do a little bit more of that.
Right. We are going to talk about why we have 7 children and how our minds have been renewed by the Word of God when it comes to having children.
Right. So a lot of people think that 7 children is a pretty large family, and I think that's at least relatively true. It's not so common in our time and in our world, I guess, to have a larger family. We talked about last time about how we know a lot of people who have larger families than us even. But sometimes we get that question like, wow, you have a big family. How do you do it? So obviously people think that 7 children is a lot. And so we thought it would be good just to talk about why we think that's a good thing.
Right.
People don't really say like, oh, why did you have 7 children? Because that'd be a little bit of an awkward question maybe to ask someone. But I have a feeling that they at least wonder. And like we mentioned last time, the last 3 were adopted. And so that's kind of a different conversation, but it still kind of gets to this question of like, why would we want to have a large family? And there's a lot of reasons for it. But for me, one of them comes back to just, you know, why am I even here in the first place? Like, why did God put me on this earth? I think back to the creation account that we have in Genesis, and you know, we see that God put Adam on the earth as his representative, right?
Right.
So he was the crowning glory of God's creation. He'd made the universe, the stars, the sun, our solar system, the plants and animals and everything. But Adam was made in God's image as his crowning glory of his creation. And we know because God tells Adam, this is what your job is. His job was to have dominion over the plants and animals, over God's creation. So he was kind of the steward or the owner, in a sense, of the earth and of the animals and the plants. And, you know, God told Adam that he needed to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. But Adam's task was to work and keep the garden. That's what God put him there to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then God told him, you know, basically, okay, now go do this on the rest of the earth too. Well, Adam wouldn't have necessarily known how big the earth was, but he could turn and look each direction and see land as far as the eye can see. And he's going to think to himself, well, you know, that's a lot of trees, a lot of gardens to cultivate and all of that. And so I'm going to need some help. And so from the very beginning, you know, Adam and Eve had children and spread out throughout the earth, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all of that. And they were spreading throughout the earth, being God's representative, taking dominion over the earth. And so though it's not exactly the same for me today, I think that still applies. And so when I think, what is my role on this earth? Well, to be God's representative, to have dominion. We know as Christians, the new covenant fulfillment, I guess, the greatest fulfillment or the greatest part of that mandate for us is to make disciples. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But ultimately, we are to have dominion over the earth. And so it's a lot easier to do that when you have a lot of help.
Right. Being a woman and homemaker, I have seen where I can be making disciples of my children. I can be teaching them the Word of God. I can be training them up. And that is I want to say easy task, but it's not an easy task. Mm-hmm. But it is an easy way for me to be obedient to Scripture. And why not have more children who are living in my home for 18 years? Why wouldn't I be spreading the gospel through that avenue, through training my children.
So you want to make disciples. You want to proclaim the gospel of Christ's death for sin, resurrection and ascension into heaven, salvation through faith in Christ. You want to be obedient to God by proclaiming that message and making disciples. What better way than to have a whole bunch of little ones who are sort of a captive audience in your home for the first 18 years of their lives? That's a great way to obey God's command to make disciples. You have disciples in your home.
Daily. They're not leaving. They're not running off. They're going to continue to hear the gospel being told to them.
Right. And the very definition of a disciple is a learner, right? Someone who is learning. And when you have several children, you have them in your home, you have access to them, you are their main teachers. As mothers and fathers, you know, we're the main teachers of our children. You have more opportunities to teach them.
Right.
And so while we can and do disciple other people, really this is one of the best ways to make a disciple is to have them where they can slowly be learning the things of God and what it means to be a human being in this world, what it means to serve and honor God, what it means to work and care for his creation, what it means to have a family and raise children and provide for a family and all of that.
And to have a biblical view of the world.
Right.
Like that is all being taught within our home daily. And they're not being pitted against the world per se right now. They're in their home and, you know, some of their things that they are saying, they're even in a sense discipling each other because they're pointing out, well, that's not obeying mom or that's not obeying God. And, you know, they're calling each other out and that's maybe not their right motive, but at least they're getting that biblical perspective of something's not right and their sin is being revealed. And hopefully myself or each other can point them in the right direction.
It's also just a simple math equation. As an individual, you can be in one place at one time, and you have a limit to how many people you can have involved in your life and who you can talk to. So if you are making disciples in your home and you want to have the biggest impact on the world that you can have, what better way than to have multiple children who, Lord willing, will grow up someday and be disciplers as well? So it's just basic math. If you want to have a large impact on any area of life, then you want to have a large impact on as many people as you can and then train them to do the same thing. And then your impact grows exponentially.
Right.
So you can have one child and faithfully raise them and praise God. You can have two children and do that. You can have three children and do that. There's no magic number, but we think, why not have as many children in our home as we can faithfully raise? And therefore the next generation has those children, you know, hopefully if we've done our job, then our children are a blessing to the next generation after them.
Correct.
Which actually gets into another of the real motivations for me in having children. In the kind of Reformed Christian world that we're a part of, Psalm 127 is a pretty common passage that we think about, right? But one of the things it says, and again, I kind of mentioned this in our first episode, and I said that this is something that we would get to in the future, but Psalm 127 verse 3 says that children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage is something that's passed down from generation to generation. So when I think about what it means that children are a heritage from the Lord, I think about how, you know, I'm 37. So, I mean, if I live a long, healthy life, I've got, 50 years tops left, right? You know, my hope is that in that time, I can live a life that brings glory to God. But I just have one life to live. And again, at most, I've got 50 more years to do that. Well, after I'm gone, what is my legacy? What do I have left to give to the world after I'm gone? That's where children are a heritage from the Lord. If I do a good job raising my children, and then they do a good job raising their children, and then their children do a good job of raising their children, then long after I'm gone, I'm continuing to have a positive impact on the world. I'm continuing to, my heritage, my legacy lives on, and there are still disciples being made because of the input that I put in to my children right now.
Right.
So children are a heritage from the Lord. That same passage, Psalm 127, goes on to say like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. I think you've got a shirt that says raising arrows.
I have a bag that says raising arrows.
Well, if you're an archer and your job is to launch arrows towards the enemy, what archer wants to have two or three arrows in his quiver, right? No, he wants a quiver full. He wants as many arrows as he possibly can have. They're his weapon. You know, an archer in battle, his impact is dependent on the arrows that he launches at the enemy. So he wants as many as he can, and he wants to fire them in the best possible direction that he can. If we're thinking about this in terms of children, not only do we want to have as many children as we can, or at least have a large enough brood of children so that we can at least have an impact, not only do we want to have them, we want to fire them in the right direction. And again, that's probably a future conversation that we'll continue to have as we go through this. We want to send our children out and have them be useful to the world. Have them to be useful in the battle that God has sent us into. The battle to make disciples and to fight back the evil in the world. To proclaim the glorious gospel message that he's given to us. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of children.
You know, some people might be wondering, well, how do you decide all this? I mean, we did, you know, after our four biological children, we were like, what is next for us? And I think after that time was something that we had to really prayerfully consider what we do next. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying only have one child, only have zero child or children. But I think there is a lot to be said. You can see many examples in the Bible of many children, people who have struggled with having children, then have children. Children come about to your families in many different ways. Foster care, adoption, taking over for siblings, children, you know, things like that. Sure. And so just because we're talking about having as many children, maybe let's just say naturally biological children right now, you can also be a parental figure to other children.
Right, absolutely. And you know, that's worth saying. We could talk about that for quite a while, but it's definitely worth saying that the number of children that are physically born into your family isn't necessarily, you know, the sum total of your parenting. So in some cases, we're talking about grandparents mm-hmm. or aunts or uncles, right? But in other cases, it might just be simply being a friend, you know, or kind of an uncle figure or a father figure or a grandfather figure to other people's children.
Yeah, to the kid next door or the same kid you see at the grocery store who's working behind the checkout line who's 18.
Right. And just in our church, for example, we've got a lot of children, a lot of big families. And, you know, we want to be a blessing to each of those families too. But I know you're like me in this. We both kind of enjoy just building relationships with some of the children in particular. Some of them just sort of, you know, steal our hearts or come and ask us questions or whatever. Yeah, and we end up developing.
Kind of gravitate towards them.
Yeah. And so they're not our children. And they have, in the examples we're talking about, they have good parents who are doing a great job of raising them already. But we see it as kind of a joy and part of our responsibility to be good influences, you know, make disciples of other people's children in some sense too.
And I think that's where there is such peace and comfort in having a church family as well, because it gives you the opportunity to be like-minded with these parents parenting them. I put that in quotes there, parenting those kids. And those kids seeing that, hey, my mom and dad are saying the same things as Joe's mom and dad, you know, like it's kind of helping to validate what God's having us as parents do.
Yeah. Okay, switching gears a little bit.
Yep.
One of the things that I hear a lot when I talk to people, I'm out and about, and this is usually when you're not with me. So maybe it's at work or I'm at the gym or at some meeting and I'm talking to someone. Maybe it's somebody I know, or maybe it's somebody I've just met or whatever it is. And the subject of children comes up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And people hear that we have seven children. Mm-hmm. I think we've said that probably enough times already. And then they hear that we homeschool and that you are home with them. And people often make comments like this. How does your wife do that? Or how in the world can she keep up with seven children? Right?
Yep.
And it's a valid question, right? So I know how hard it is to just take care of me. Okay. Feed myself, get myself ready, get myself to work, you know, do the things that I need to do, fill up my gas tank, right? Just simple, silly little things that I need to do to take care of myself. Now, take a mom who's in a home with a bunch of children. How do you make 21 meals times 9 in a week? Or what about that laundry? Those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is fascinating because I think this questions like that, and again, they're well-meaning questions. I mean, you do a great work and you are a good wife and mother. So I don't want to take anything away from that at all. But I think this comes, questions like this, I think come from honestly just bad thinking about what it even means to be a parent, what parenting even looks like. So for example, laundry.
Yep.
How in the world do you do anything besides laundry? And we've got six boys, and not that our girl is that clean and dainty and all of that, but I'm just saying boys make messes, tear holes in their clothes, and everything's dirty. Like, don't you just do laundry all day, every day?
No, I do not.
How is that possible? That's what, that's the question that people have. Like, yeah. How do you feed all of those children?
Yep.
Not like how do you pay for their food? I mean, that's a different question too, right? But just how do you get food on the table, and how do they have clean clothes in their dressers and closets?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think maybe where you're going with this is I have a job as the one to maintain my home.
To care for the home.
To right. care for our home. So the easiest way to care for our home is many hands make light work. And you train your children to do those things. And ultimately, my goal is to first be obedient to Christ in training my children to know God. Second, my goal is to raise our children so they can be functional adults.
Right. They just need to be able to care for themselves.
Society.
And Lord willing, someday care for a wife right. or a husband and children of right. their own. And
so you start training them how to do those things as soon as you can.
Right. And this, in my estimation, this is one of the big ways where parents go wrong, is trying to do everything for their kids. I think there's another side of that where, you know, where we outsource the raising of our children to the government schools and different things like that. So there's another side of it. But just in terms right. of like
basic home functions, right. I mean, you can just go in that area only, your basic functions of the home. Why wouldn't your children participate in maintaining of the home?
Right. So how many people do you do laundry for in this home out of 9?
Two. You and me.
Yep. And I try to help sometimes. But yes, you do most of our laundry. So we have a 15-year-old,
mm-hmm.
we have two 11-year-olds, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, 7, and 5. So how does their laundry get done?
Everyone does their own laundry on their day.
Even the 5-year-old?
Even the 5-year-old.
When did he start that?
When he was 3. I will put a side note in there. He couldn't reach things, but I still taught him what to do. And he helped with those duties. And now he's 5. And can do all of them himself. And he knows what buttons to push and how much laundry detergent goes in and to switch his laundry. He still needs a little help on that. I need a little help. I can barely reach the bottom of the laundry machine. So also he has siblings who help him too. So I might switch a load quickly because I need towels to throw in or something. But pretty much always they are all doing their own laundry on their given laundry day.
Right. So I love telling people that, like, because it's hilarious to see their reactions. Like, it blows their minds. Like, mm-hmm. how does your wife do laundry for 9 people? She doesn't. Why wouldn't they do their own? And yeah, it's hard work to teach them. It's taken quite a bit of time to train our 5-year-old to do his laundry. And let's be honest, his folding and putting away skills are sorely lacking still.
Right. And I'm not going to die on that hill right now. No. And that's okay with that. Like, it will get better. I mean, I don't expect perfection in his folding. You, on the other hand, are a little more precise in your folding. And you taught them to fold over me teaching them to fold. I think that's helpful too. But I also think that he's come a long way in that the last, even last year, in just knowing that Tuesday's his laundry day and they all start their laundry one right after another and they have taken that responsibility on. Mm-hmm. And they can do it. That's the amazing part, is that they're like little sponges during that mm-hmm. time, and they think it's cool to run a washing machine.
A lot of parents think, I think wrongly, that, you know, maybe that it's their job to do the work around the house. Mm. And what are kids supposed to do? Just be kids, right? Oh, that's kind of I just like baited myself into going on a rant, because that's one of my pet peeves. You know, what is the point of being a kid? Well, it's...
have fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, so,
be a kid.
Oh, just let them be kids. You know, let the kids be kids. Well, I mean, what is the purpose of being a child is to grow up into adulthood. That's a little oversimplified, but anyway, topic for another day. But yeah, I think parents go wrong in thinking that they have to do that work for themselves. And also, some of it's laziness, because you don't want to take the time to train people. And I fall into that trap too.
I do too.
Like, it's easier to just do it myself than to spend this time in teaching them.
I think that's something that you have really pushed me in, is taking the time to train them. And it also has been very good for me to loosen up my control over everything.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you come to me with some problem or something that you've got to get done? And I'm just like, have one of the kids do it. I mean, I say that every day, I think. Okay, maybe not. I say something like that every day, well, whatever. We don't need to argue about how many times I say that. But the point is, I say that a lot.
Right.
And you do too, right? So we have the mentality that, look, these kids are going to learn to care for things around the house. So if you're the only one that knows how to run the vacuum, then you're going to be vacuuming every time. If you're the only one who knows how to mow the yard, you're going to be mowing the yard every time. You know, we've talked about laundry, but what about food?
It's kind of the same idea that I have taught some of the children some basic cooking skills. And I think our twins probably have the best concept of what goes on in the kitchen, but they are also the ones that are most willing and they enjoy those tasks. Sure. And so it helps to have that going for you as well. Like, they enjoy being in the kitchen. They enjoy learning that type of stuff. They can read recipes. They can follow recipes. Whereas that doesn't hold true for some of our younger children yet. I think we could get there. But there's also, I mean, there's other things when it comes to kitchen as well. You know, you've got some safety issues that you have to also... I think that it's almost like a privilege as well when you're in the kitchen. There's some privileges that you get with helping in the kitchen too. I would also say I've done a poor job with my oldest in the kitchen. And you could probably figure that out with just the timing of things, of when I was forced to have the children help more.
Right. He was already a little bit older.
He was already a little bit older, kind of doing his own thing in a sense, mm-hmm. not being not useful or anything like that, but just he was doing other things. And I just had a thought the other day that I need him to be making one supper meal, just for him to learn those basic skills.
Well, and that's I'm glad you said that, because it reminds me of, you know, friends that we have who start really young with their kids. And it's like, oh, I can't have my kid making our Sunday evening family dinner for everybody. There's no way they could handle that. Well, no, that's not what we're saying. I make Saturday morning pancakes. That's kind of the thing that I do every week. You know, that's the one meal that I'm certain to be making every week. Well, it's pretty easy to make. And so I've started training our 8-year-old daughter to do that. And at this point, she could get everything out. She could mix it up. She could make the pancakes, cook them, serve them all on her own. And she's 8. Now the next meal that she learns to make is going to be that much easier, because mixing batter, cooking, flipping pancakes, you know, heat and spatulas and all these kinds of things, you know, all these tools are familiar now. And so the next one's just going to be a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And then, for example, our twins, I see a lot of times are cutting vegetables to go in a meal that you're making, you know, and so you might be working too, but you've got them helping so that you don't have to do all of it. it might seem like we've gotten a little bit off the subject because we're talking about why have children, what's our motivation for having a large family, but I really don't think we are off subject because I think what this gets down to is, you know, whether we think of children as a burden or as a blessing.
Right.
And when you take the attitude that children are a lot of work, you know, that it's a big burden, it's a responsibility, that they cost a lot of money to raise and all of that. And I'm not saying none of those things are true, but human beings, God made us to be creators and producers, right?
Right.
And though we are fallen in sin and we have laziness and we have forgetfulness and we have all of these things, these tendencies that we battle that make life more difficult, right? Part of the curse was by the sweat of your brow, you'll work the ground, you know, and thorns and thistles you'll fight against. That was Adam's curse for disobeying God, part of it anyway. Despite all of that, we are creators and producers and workers. And so if you think that children are a burden and you're not likely to have very many children,
you're kind of missing out.
Right. Because what we're saying is, no, children are actually very capable. Five-year-olds can do laundry. Not only can five-year-olds do their own laundry, but they can handle other people's laundry. And not only can an eight-year-old cook pancakes for herself, she can cook it for nine people. And like you said, many hands make light work. Next thing you know, we're getting all kinds of things done around here.
Right.
You know, the early years especially are a slog, right? And when you're in the midst of that, you know, we have friends that have whatever, four, five, six, seven kids under the age of seven, you know, that kind of thing. And those are very challenging years, to be sure. But eventually, if you do your job well, your house begins to run itself.
Right.
And your children are trained to be useful, productive, creative members of your home and eventually of the society. And then they're actually, you know, they're actually prepared to love God and love their neighbors. They're actually prepared to care for a family of their own. They're actually prepared to be really good employees and business owners because they have skills and a work ethic that lends itself well to being productive and creative. So one of the reasons that we think it's good to have children and many children is because we put them to use. We get good work out of them. That's not meant to say that they're our slaves or anything like that. But I was just sitting talking to our oldest son earlier as we were kind of talking about the subject of the podcast. And I was just commenting to him how you and I, at this point in our lives, actually have a pretty incredible amount of freedom. We have work to do around here for sure. But, you know, we have free time. You've got your flowers that you can work on, which is good work. And you involve your children in it and all of that. But it's an elective thing.
Right.
Right. We have time to relax. We have time to play games sometimes and go out before this whole quarantine thing. Right. We were going on date nights pretty regularly. And the kids not only survive at home without us, but they can make their own meals and they can take care of themselves. They can get themselves showered and get to bed and do all of these things. And, you know, by God's grace, that has happened because of the efforts that we put in. And so that effort that we put into raising children has now reaped rewards of life is not so hard, not such a slog anymore sometimes.
I agree. Go back 2 years ago. And we couldn't be doing the things that we are doing now. We adopted our youngest
almost
3 years ago. And we were pretty homebound for 2 years, really homebound. We were back to basics, the basic skills of raising children again. And they were older children. I think now I'm seeing the fruit of that. And after hard times, we now are seeing some great fruit in just basic life skills. And praise God for those, because it was hard in that thick time.
And I would argue that the challenge of having more children forced us to be even better. I say even better as if we were good in the first place. But what I mean is 3 years ago, before we brought three more children into the home, we had four boys that we had raised from birth and had been intentional with. And so they were pretty self-sufficient. It had been a long time since we were changing diapers or getting kids out of car seats and that kind of thing. And so life was pretty comfortable when you have 7-year-old up to 12-year-old, right? adding three more children in our home. And actually, I should give some credit there while I'm talking about it. That reminds me when we were considering adopting and we're sitting down with one of the families in our church. And I was kind of lamenting some of my failures as a parent.
Right.
And I'm just saying, oh, I feel like our home isn't very organized. You know, it's not as clean as I would like it to be. And we have responsibilities that we're not doing a good job of taking care of, you know, this and that. And so we're talking to this family and the husband, the man says, I know how to solve that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, fire away. I want to hear it. And he said, get a bunch more children in your home. And we kind of laugh, you know, and it's like, oh, wow. Okay. So here I am lamenting the chaos in our home. And he says the solution to that is more children. And I think we saw his point then for sure, which is why it stuck in my mind. But it's kind of like you're just describing getting three more children into our home actually brought more chaos. But what it did is it forced us to do an even better job of passing responsibilities. And so our older boys that were already in our home suddenly had to start taking on more responsibility because we had all of this extra work to care for three kids who didn't grow up in the best environment and weren't used to our structure and our rules and just required a lot more attention from us. But now, like you said, you know, I'd say we've been in that season for a while, but more and more all the time, we're reaping the fruit of not just in the lives of those three children, but in all of our lives,
right,
the benefits that have come from being a little bit more intentional about passing training onto the other children. 3 years ago, if you just wanted to handle all the laundry, and I'm not saying you did that, but if you wanted to just handle all of the laundry, you could do that. But with a few more kids and a lot more responsibility, you couldn't. And so you were forced to pass that off. You're forced to say, okay, I need you two to start cutting vegetables because I got like 27 vegetables to cut up to go into this soup. And if I have to do it all myself, you know, to feed this many people, I'm going to need some more help. So anyway, yeah, I think we're reaping the fruit of that. To transition a little bit more, and this isn't the season of life we're in right now, but this is something that I think about. And I think about, you know, Lord willing, if I do have another 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever I have, I'll be in a different season of life, and my relationship to my children and hopefully grandchildren will be different than it is now. But one of the things we talk to our children about often is just caring for our parents, honoring our father and mother, right? And so my hope is that someday, if and when I need more help, maybe I'm, you know, get to the point where I can't care for myself as well as I used to, that I will have family who will care for me, right? And so one of the things, and again, I was telling our oldest son this earlier when we were talking, one of the really sad things that I see in our, in the world around me is old, lonely people. And these can be people who maybe didn't even have children and or never married. And, you know, maybe when they were young and they had their careers and they had a lot of activity, a lot of energy, you know, going on, that was fine. Like they enjoyed the freedom that came from not having a family, or maybe they wanted a family and for whatever reason, it never happened. But now they're getting a little bit older and they need more help with life. And they're just, they don't have companionship. They don't have children to love and care for, or to, you know, who love and care for them. And so they're lonely. So in some cases, I'm thinking of those who just never had children, but I think there's another group, and it's the people who did have children, but who I would say didn't do the things that we're talking about, where they didn't bring their children up in the Lord to know what it meant to be part of a family and to have other people to care for, right? Because when we're learning to cook a meal for your six siblings and your parents, you're learning to love others. You're learning how to be a part of a family unit, how to be part of a bigger society.
Right.
And so this could be maybe kind of painful for some people to hear, to think about. But sometimes when people get older, children are out of the house and they're lonely, it's because they didn't do their job very well. Again, that could be kind of painful for people to hear and think about, to hear me say, hey, it's your fault. But at the same time, I think that I see people like that around me. We see and know of families who aren't very close with each other. Moms and dads get older. Maybe they have to go to a nursing home, those kinds of things. And I'm not trying to say that that's always wrong by mm-hmm. any means, but just they don't have children that they can depend on because they didn't train those children to be dependable.
I've always said, I know which of my children would care for me. when I think
you're talking about Beckham.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. And I think that's because he sees our family and values our the closeness of our family. And there are times where I'm like, man, we are not close. We are not united. We are not bonded. But yet, I think we all would do something for one another if there was any issue or problem or
I'd like to think that's the case, and we can't predict the future and all of that. And so, again, I'm not saying that in every instance it's a direct result of somebody's failure as a parent. But in general, I guess what I'm saying is one of the reasons that I want to have children and have a lot of children is so that I have people who love me and care for me my whole life. I want to train them to love and care for others so that they'll love and care for me. And that might sound selfish, but look, that's just life. We are social people. God is a communicating God, right? We could get into the Trinity, right? The triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the unity and relationship that they have within the Godhead. He made us in his image. And like him, we are social creatures that need interaction with other people. And sometimes we just need help from other people. And so if you have children and you have lots of children and you train them well, then you're going to have people to interact with and care for you all your life long.
So go have children. Well, I hope you all have a better understanding of why we have 7 children.
Yeah, and I feel like we still kind of just scratched the surface. I'm sure we'll get into more of that as we go on, but at least we've kind of explained our motivation. And if someday, somehow we end up with another, I don't know, dozen or so children.
What?
We'll just be like, okay, go back and listen to the podcast where we talked about that. Okay, that explains it.
We'll be past the Duggars then.
Yeah. I had to say a ridiculous number so that everyone would know that that was a joke.
Yeah. Anyway, peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.